Welcome to City Professional English Podcasts, podcast number 32, The LEAP Programme Part 2, Delegation. This is not going to be the usual type of information or podcast on delegation. I'm not going to try to convince you that it is a good thing or correct thing to do. I'm sure you already know that. What I would like to do with this particular podcast is go through some of my failures in the past when I have tried to delegate and some of the solutions which I came up with to resolve these failures. What I have found in recent times in meeting clients is that the failures that I had are quite common. And so instead of talking about why delegating is great and how to do it, I want to look at why it's failed in the past. And maybe in that sense I can be a little bit more of use and of value to you than simply talking about delegation. So I have 4 points for today. The first one is, everyone knows it is correct to delegate. A little bit tongue-in-cheek, this particular point. And I'm going to look at not just to introduce my failures, but also I want to give you one extra reason as to why I think delegation is so very, very important, which is not often talked about. I'm also going to list the three major characteristics of delegation. My second point is solutions, where I'll simply give the solutions that I came up with to address the failures that I had. And inside of that particular point, I'm going to talk about what to delegate. My third point is to whom to delegate, because that's also very important as well. And lastly, I'm going to talk about how to delegate, including the language you need to use, which is extremely important to get the most out of the person you're delegating to. The first point, everyone knows it's correct to delegate. And everyone does. Everyone has the list of the reasons why delegation is very good. We touched on them a little bit when we spoke in the LEAP program part 1, priority management, and also last week's podcast on priorities and objectives. But I'd like to add one extra reason why delegation is extremely important. And it's one which is not often mentioned, and I think that's a shame, because I think it's actually the most important reason why a manager, an executive, a senior director, owner really needs to have this competence and to be an expert in it. And it's because of this. The people at the top of the company, and I'm going to use those people as the first example, the owner, the founder, the person who started the company up and built it over 10 or 20 or 30 years from nothing, and they built it up through blood and sweat and hard work. They also built it up by making mistakes, resolving those mistakes, surviving and carrying on. This is a tremendous amount of expertise and knowledge, which is real expertise and real knowledge, as I said, built up over the years. We need to retain that within the company. It is such a waste if that type of gold dust is lost by it not being transferred to other people within the company. And delegation is a perfect way for this to occur. And not just the delegation, but also when you have to train someone to be able to actually complete the task or project that you delegated to them, this is where it gives you the opportunity to do this. And you're not just delegating the things you hate, the worst things, the sort of rubbish, as it were. Because if you remember from the LEAP program part one on priority management, when we looked at the activities that you do and we compared them to your priorities, and we've looked at the activities which do not lead towards your priorities, we've taken that group and we've asked ourselves three questions. Do you remember them? You know, what can I be happy or content to completely eliminate? So if you stop doing one of these activities, if it would have no consequence whatsoever, you can completely eliminate it. What you're left with is the things that you must do and the things that you must delegate. So you've already gotten rid of a lot of the rubbish, a lot of the extra activities which are, there's no use for anyone. So what you're delegating are real responsibilities, real projects, real tasks that you feel are important, that need to be done and can't be completely eliminated from the work schedule of your company or your area, your department. So you, the owners, the top people in the company delegate down to the people below them. And of course, these people now have extra workload and they have to delegate to the people beneath them. So you, this goes on and on. So you end up with a sort of waterfall effect, where the experience and knowledge of the people above you, the more senior people with more experience and more knowledge, pass that down to you so that you are able to complete that task or project. And this waterfall effect is wonderful. I mean, you can ask someone to come into the company like me, a consultant, and help with some of these tools and techniques. But you have such a wealth of knowledge and experience there that, you know, you don't need people like me. The return on investment of delegating is infinite. If you're in financial control, you ought to be shouting from the rooftops you want everyone in your company to delegate in this particular way. And also, on you know, less extravagant type of idea, as I said before, this knowledge and experience which has been built up, particularly by the owners or the founders of the company, we really should not lose that. That's such a shame to lose that sort of that knowledge. Those 20 or 10, 20, 30 years of doing things right and doing things wrong and learning the correct way to do it. We need to pass that on. I'd like to also now talk about the three major characteristics of delegating, because I think they're also very important to keep in mind as we talk about further things. There are three major characteristics for me in delegating. There's the responsibility angle. And this means that the person you're delegating to is not doing something for you. It's they have gained a new responsibility, that they are now responsible for the outcome of this particular task or this project. It's not that they're doing something for you. However, when I say this, it just because the person you're delegating to is now responsible for the outcome, it does not mean that you have been able to eliminate your total responsibility. Because if you are the head of a department, for instance, and you've delegated a particular task or project to someone beneath you, you are still responsible for the overall performance of your department. So you can't delegate the responsibility. You can delegate the task, you can delegate the project. The person who has it is responsible for it, but you cannot delegate the responsibility. Okay? It's not fire and forget type of event. The second characteristic which is important is authority. Now, authority is literally the power to be able to complete the task or project. The power within the company, or the power outside of the company with clients, with suppliers. It's very important that this transfer of power, this transfer of authority, which gives the person you're delegating to the ability to actually complete the task, is done, and is done explicitly sometimes. Often it requires a simple email which goes out to people saying that John is now doing Project X for me. He has my full support and authority to complete this task. Very simple, very straightforward type of email, type of notification of this transfer of authority. The last point is accountability. Now, accountability is different to responsibility. Accountability means that if the outcome of this particular project is positive, there will be positive consequences to it. If the outcome is negative, if it fails, then there will be negative consequences for this. So they need to think that not only do they have the responsibility for the outcome, they are accountable for the outcome. You know, things will go well, things will go badly, depending on the result of it. And it's important also to pass on this accountability. It also means that you need to be able to give feedback to these people. Because you don't want to wait to write at the end of the project before you know that it's a failure. You need to help the person during the project in giving them positive and corrective feedback. Excuse me. And I'll talk about in a future podcast about how to give feedback, because it's pretty important as well. And another one of the crucial competences of managers and executives. However, if you're going to do delegation, you're going to have to be able to give feedback. And those are the three main characteristics of delegation in my particular mind. Now, the Harvard Business Review did a survey, and in it, 75% of people said that their manager should delegate more to them, that he or she is not delegating enough. And 68% of managers said that they wanted to delegate more. So why do we have this difference? Why do we have so many managers who want to delegate more, so many people who work for those managers who say they should delegate more, and yet they're not doing it? And this question leads us on to why does delegating often fail? And here are the reasons why it failed for me. The first one, oh, and by the way, the reason I want to address this issue is because I don't want to convince you about delegating. Even though I've said this extra reason about retaining the knowledge and expertise in a company, you may not have thought about that. I still don't think I need to convince you about the worthiness of delegation. So I want to address where it fails, or where it's failed for me anyway. The first one is a lack of training. I just didn't know how to delegate properly. Even though I'd read quite a few books about it, I still wasn't completely sure about how to actually do this. The second failure for me was a fear of losing control of the project, of the task, and therefore it led me to over-control the person who was responsible for this project. So I delegated someone else, and yet I was putting them under a lot of pressure to give me information, and therefore an intervening as well. And lastly, I delegated the wrong things. I delegated important projects, important tasks, before I was sufficiently expert in delegating itself. These are the three reasons, or my three failures in the past, for why when I delegated didn't work. And I found that in particular the second one, not feeling comfortable with enough information, over-controlling, is one which I commonly see when I talk to clients these days. So I think that's quite a common failure that we all do. What are the solutions to these? Well, the first solution to the lack of training is pretty easy, right? I mean, there are a lot of books out there on delegation. You stick delegating into the Google and pages after pages. There are podcasts that talk about how to delegate. Lots of podcasts on how to talk about delegating. But you know what you can do? You can also just ask your boss, ask your manager, ask the person above you to help you to improve your ability to delegate. And that person can teach you, can train you, can coach you. So the lack of training is not a particular problem. If you're the owner of the company, if you're the number one person, if you're the top, then of course you can't ask anyone to help you. So you're going to have to go to books or to podcasts or to consultants to learn how to do this. But still, it's a rather easy one to sort out. The second one, which is this feeling or fear of losing control, which leads to over-controlling. We did talk about this last week when we spoke about the difference between priorities, objectives, and tasks, and avoiding misdirection. And it happens a lot. I see it a lot, and it happened to me, as I mentioned before. And the solution to it is that you need to think very, very carefully what information you require so that you remain comfortable. And therefore, you need to go through the delegation, through the plan, through the task, through the project, and think very carefully of what you need. At the same time, you need to think how often you need that information. Do you need it daily, weekly, monthly? You know, in a certain sense, it depends upon the length of the project or the task and the type. But here, what we're talking about is the things that you require to remain comfortable. Because if the person delegating does not feel comfortable, feels out of the loop, and this is particularly the case when you're talking about senior people, because often, and even more particularly when you're talking about the owners or the founders of the company, they built the company up from nothing. They're used to doing everything, which is what you do when you're built, when you've got a small company, you're building it up. And it's very hard for them then to delegate, even though they know it's the right thing to do, because they're fearful, not of losing control, losing their position, but that they don't have all the information of exactly what's going on in the company. It is so difficult. And that's why it's on this LEAP program, which is helping companies go from small and good to big and great, because you simply have to do that. You have to delegate. You have to give up some of this control. But I know it's difficult. So we have to find our limit, right? We have to find how much information we need to be comfortable and how often we need to hear it. But offsetting that, and within that consideration, you next have to think that, am I over-controlling the person? Again, we spoke about this in last week's podcast. Am I asking too much of this person? You know, if you have a project which lasts 3 months and you want to report every day, you're probably requiring the person you delegated to do too much report writing, too much information. Unfortunately, the balance between you being comfortable so that you don't intervene within the project or task and not over-controlling the person you delegated to, so allowing them the freedom to excel and to succeed, this balance is different for every single person. It's also different for every project and every task. And it's not something that I can directly give you a formula for, except to go through the steps I've mentioned. You know, think of what you need to be comfortable, think how often you need it, and then think, am I asking too much? Am I over-controlling? Is this going to impede the person from succeeding? Difficult balance to get, but very important. Also, with the losing control, and as you're thinking about this planning and you're thinking through what you need and when you need it and if it's too much, you need to also think about the training that the person you're delegating to may need. And you're thinking of this because then you're ready that when you actually give the delegation in the verbal transmission of the delegation, you're ready for the type of training that the person may ask you to be able to complete the task. And this also goes back to what I said before of retaining this wonderful and very, very important knowledge and experience that's been gained over many, many years, retaining that within the company. We go on to the third reason which I failed in the past is that I started off delegating the wrong thing. I delegated things which were too important given my level of delegating. It's far more important to start small, to start simply, than to start on something very big. Because as a manager or executive, if this is the first time that you're trying to delegate, or you're listening to this podcast and you want to try again to delegate because you know it's so important, and it's failed in the past, so you're trying again, that's great. So you are learning yourself how to delegate, the art of delegating. It's too much to then to put the responsibility on your shoulders of learning this delegation art and at the same time having a very important project or task that you're actually delegating, which has a lot of risk to it if it's not done well. You're not giving yourself a great opportunity to learn, to become an expert on how to delegate. So my advice would be to start simply, to start small. We've already, having done the LEAP program part one, priority management, we've already got the tasks that we need to delegate. And we've already worked out that there's some things that we cannot delegate, which we must do. And there are some things which we can delegate, and that's what you're looking to delegate on to the people who work for you. One of the most wonderful places to start with delegating is any type of regular reporting. You know, any type of monthly report that needs to be done, a weekly report, regular thing that goes on, that's a wonderful place to start. You still need, however, to ask yourself the same question with all of these delegated tasks and projects, and it is, what is seen by the most senior people? So if you have a task or a report or a project where the outcome is seen or witnessed or heard by very senior people within your company, you probably don't want to delegate that. And a related question is, what out of these list of things to delegate could do the most damage if it's not done correctly? And if you ask yourself that question, you'll see a couple of activities, I'm sure, which, although they need to be done, there's not going to be that much of a fallout, a nuclear fallout, if they're not done perfectly. And lastly, when you're talking about what you delegate, please don't just delegate the things you hate doing. Right? Delegate some of the things you like doing too. Think about the person that that's working for you. Delegation is not simply for you to stop doing the things you hate. Okay? So those are the three failures that I used to make and the solutions that I came up to address those. Let me now go on to talk to about to whom to delegate and my own template or method for delegating. The to whom to delegate is pretty crucial as well. And in a sense, this comes also from my previous discussion about retaining this knowledge and expertise within the company. You start off by asking yourself questions. The first question is, who has the best strengths to complete this task or project? You have put together a group of people, or you've inherited a group of people, and they have various strengths and various weaknesses. So you can look at this task or project and match up the requirements of the task or project with the strengths of the person within your group who's best suited to it. You might also ask yourself, who has an interest in this task or project? You know, maybe they've actually come to you and asked you for training in a certain area, and this delegated activity might actually help them in that training. And what could be a better test as if the training has worked or not or been useful? What could be better than actually having a real life activity which is delegated to the person, which will show whether the training that they've been through has actually worked? You know, for instance, I'll give you a simple example. Say someone comes to you and they say that they want to be more proficient in presenting. Okay. They don't come to you and say they want it in English, you know, in their own, the mother tongue of the company. They want to improve their presenting skills. They come to you and ask you that. Well, if you have an activity which you do, which involves presenting to people, here you have a perfect opportunity to delegate a real task with real outcomes and real consequences related to the training that the person will do. And we'll talk about in a moment how you actually vocalize the delegation, how you actually talk through the delegation to the person. And the last thing you ask them is, what type of training do you need from me to be able to complete this? So you might give the training yourself. You might actually coach the person on how to give a presentation. Or they might say, hey, I've heard of a wonderful coach called Mark Olding. I'd like to go to him, or, you know, whatever. That you go to the human resources department and ask them what, you know, what do they have for training in presenting skills. But isn't that wonderful? You know, you have someone who comes to you in your group who asks you where they want to improve, and you have the opportunity to delegate to them a real activity. So the training that the company does, and the training the company pays for, if you're not doing the training, the coaching yourself, if you're paying someone like me, has a real test. So you don't need to worry about these stupid feedback forms and if the participant really enjoyed themselves or not. I mean, what, you know, who cares, right? Here, you can actually have a test. So they do the presenting course with the consultant, let's say, for as an example, and then they have to put themselves in front of 20, 30 people, senior people or more senior people, or maybe just their peers, and present. Wonderful test. Wonderful opportunity, which is why delegating is so good. So you match up the interest or the training requirements with the activity to delegate. You can also think about who needs development in this particular area. So say, for instance, you have someone whose strengths are being very precise. They are very good with numbers. They need to have all the information correctly ordered before they can go forward, right? That's a strength. Their weakness is obviously the opposite to that. So maybe if you have activity which you can delegate, which requires someone to be creative, for instance, which requires the far more the use of the right-hand side of the brain as opposed to the left-hand side of the brain, this is a wonderful, again, opportunity to delegate something real, which forces the person to train or develop another part of them. I hope you're getting the sense when I'm talking about this as to, you know, being a manager, being an executive, passing on these particular tasks requires thought, because they're important. Because being a manager, and the reason you're getting paid more than the people who work for you, is because of these activities that you do. And you can make a tremendous difference to people and a tremendous difference to the company by the way in which you delegate. And that's why you have to ask yourselves these questions. It's not simply you have a task to delegate. The first person who walks past your office, you say, oh, hello, John, come in here. I want you to do something for me. That's not delegation. That's bad management. That's lazy management. That's the sort of stuff that, you know, you shouldn't be paid for, right? delegating is an art, maybe a science in a certain sense, but it's professional and it's important. So there's quite a lot of preparation that goes into it. I mean, you'll get quicker at doing it, but initially there's a lot of questions you have to ask. So let me go on now to actually how to delegate, the language you use and some of the reasons and phrases and stuff behind it. The first one is a mindset here. The mindset is that you are not telling someone to do something for you. Okay? You are asking them if they can help you. Now, I know to some of you that's going to be a bit difficult to understand. You know, they work for you, you're their boss, they do what you say. But if you want to get the most from people, you have to be very careful with the language you use. Languages are important. They're very important. Getting across what you want is an important skill. And languages are the way in which we communicate, so the choice of the words you use are very important. That's the whole idea behind professional English that I developed. These things are important, not from a grammatical point of view, but they're important in terms of achieving your objective. And what is your objective when you're about to delegate to someone? It's for that to be a success. So don't tell them. Ask. And I have a simple template for this. And this is not the only template you can do or use. And what is important with it is that you do not try to be creative. All right? Being a manager, being executive, being very effective means doing the same things every time and being predictable. There's never been, I've mentioned this before, I think, there's never been a Hollywood film on a manager unless he's been a psycho who goes around killing people, because managers have boring roles. The role of a manager, that part of it, is boring. It's doing the same things over and over again. And by the way, if you can hear children's voices in the background, it's because my two children have arrived from school. And they've brought a friend home as well. So there's three children under the age of 7 in the house. And even though my studio office is detached from my home, if you hear their voices, I do apologize. If they start screaming too much, I'll cut it back. So let's look at this template. The introduction to the delegation. You've asked someone to come into your office and you say, Simon, I need your help. Not, Simon, I need you to do something for me, or I want you to do something for me, using power. You say, I need your help. If someone says to you, I need your help, you are immediately more content, more relaxed. The person is going to be far more receptive to what you're going to say than if you say, I want you to do something for me, which is a power play. The next step is, why this person? It's important to tell the person why you've chosen them. Don't let them think that they're the first person who's walked past the door. You are choosing them because they are the most competent in that area. So you say, Simon, I need your help. You're the most competent in computer programming in my group. Or, Simon, I need your help. You've mentioned to me that you want to improve your presenting skills. Then you do the bottom line first, okay? This is, you tell them what you want them to do before explaining it in detail. Now, this is pretty important. It goes on with my bottom line first, which I mentioned in a podcast many weeks back. And if you haven't listened to that, please do. Bottom line first, a very important podcast to get to know. The reason you're doing this is if you start immediately giving the details of what this delegation is about, the person will be not listening to those details. they will be listening and waiting for when you ask them to do something for you, which comes at the end, for most people, of giving all the details. So they're not concentrating on what you're saying. And also, what happens if you spend 10 minutes giving the details of the project, the task, and then ask them what you would like help with, and they say no? What are you going to do? You have to go back then and start again and go through all the details. Here, if you give the bottom line first and you ask them initially, they can say yes or no. So you say this: could you be in charge of the monthly board meeting agenda? Simple as that. Could you be in charge of the monthly presentation of our results to the other departments? Okay. And you haven't given any details yet. You haven't told them what they have to do. You just told them where the task, the title of the task. And here, if they say no, okay, you can say, well, why is that? Excuse me. You can ask why that is. And if they start to say, well, you know, I don't think I'm competent enough in presenting, or I don't think I know the subject sufficiently well, or whatever, you can thank them for that and then explain to them why you still think they should do it. And so you've saved a lot of time. So bottom line first is the most important thing. And then we have the details. Right? And you say this task or this project involves the following. And you just give the tasks. So it's very simple. Simon, I need your help. Some months ago you asked me that you wanted to improve your presentation skills. I wonder, could you be in charge of the monthly presentation of our department's results to the rest of the company? Yes, Simon says. He said, well, this is what it involves. And then you give the details. After the details, it's very important then to talk about the deadlines. You need to give the type of deadline and when you need it. If you're delegating a regular report, a monthly or weekly type of event, something which happens all the time, then you simply say the deadline is the last business day of the month, so I need to see it 2 days before then. So you give the deadline, because the deadline, in a sense, is already set by the regular activity. Okay? It's not really being set by you or by anyone else. It's been set by the company, and so the deadline, you're just bringing it a few days before then. If it's not a regular report or activity that you're delegating, you ask the person when they think they will be finished. You say, when do you think you'll be able to complete this? If they can't give you the answer, and particularly if they're taking on a big project, they won't be able to give you the answer, and that's fine. That's fine. It's good you push for it, but it's also good they say they can't, because they need to look at it and come back to you and think through it. But what's important is that you ask them. Again, we're not telling someone to do something here. We're asking them. If you ask someone and say, yeah, I can do that within a month. Now, if to you a month is a ridiculous length of time, it should be done in a week, you can choose whether you want to talk about that. If it's the first time you're delegating to this particular person, you might decide, well, let it go, and that's fine. They say a month, I'm happy with that. The second time you delegate to them, if they again try to ask for too much time, you can give them feedback as to that. So if you're in agreement with it, or if you're going to agree with them, that's fine. And the advantage to that is that the person feels that they own this delegation far more, because they're deciding when the deadline is. And that, from a psychological point of view, is very important. The deadline, of course, is talking about what's making you comfortable, right? And these is where, not just the deadline, but the deadline and the reporting before the deadline is reached. These are the things that you've spoken about or you thought about in terms of what you need to feel comfortable and how often you need it, balanced by not wishing to over-control the person. So then you tell the person what will make you comfortable. I would like an update every Friday. And for the first two times you do this particular task, I'd like to see the work beforehand. It's you who works out what is going to make you comfortable, and you ask for it then. And very lastly, you ask them what they need. You ask them, you say, what do you need for me to do this task or this project? And they might ask you for training. They might ask you for certain authority. They might ask you for extra responsibility in terms of people who work with them. They may need to go away and come back to you in a couple of days with what they need. But here's the opportunity where you can train them. You can help them, give them all of the tools they need to actually reach the objective. All right. Well, I hope this is actually no. I tell you what. Let me go through a whole delegation example, just to give you an example of what we're doing. So, Simon, I need your help. Some months ago, you asked me to improve your presentation skills. I wonder, could you be in charge of the monthly presentation of our results to the other department heads? Yes, no. This is what this involves. Every month, you have to get the data of our performance results, which you can get from the control department. You have to check this data is correct. You have to put it then into a presentation, including the writing and the visuals, which will include some sort of comparison with historical data and also comparison to our yearly budget. Also, you'll need to talk about if there's any particularly extraordinary events or occurrences in that month that can explain the current performance or the actual trend. The meeting is held on the last business day of every month, so I would like to see the full presentation 2 days before that, so we can work through and make sure that it's okay. I'd also, for the first two times that you do it, I'd like to have a meeting with you the last day of every week, so we can go through your getting of the information from the control department, putting together your visuals, thinking about any extraordinary events, talking to other colleagues to get that information. We can talk through as you're doing, but only for the first couple of times. What, Simon, do you need for me to be able to do this? That's it. That's taken 2 minutes. Very short, very quick. Very professional, even though I say it myself. And you're covering all the bases here. You're giving enough to make you feel comfortable. You are not telling Simon he needs to do something for you, but you're asking for his help in it. You're giving him something which he has asked to improve in that particular area, and you're asking him what training he requires to actually do it. That is delegating. And that is what we have to try to aim at. Okay, I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. I hope you in some way have found it useful. Remember, we've looked at everyone knows it's correct to delegate. We've looked at some of the failures that I've made in the past, of which I think one of them is particularly common regarding the over-controlling. The solutions that I've come up to regarding those failures, to whom to delegate, and the questions you need to ask yourself to be able to delegate to the right person, and all of the considerations that goes into that. And then lastly, how to delegate, the actual language, the English you use, and the reasons behind it. I hope this has been useful. If you have any comments regarding this podcast, please write to me. You can go to my website and leave if there's a feedback option, and there's also a voicemail option. You can write directly to me at markolding@cityprofessionalenglish.com. or you can go via Facebook or LinkedIn and leave messages there as well. Again, I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. I hope you found it useful. Good luck with your delegating. Try to use this podcast to help you, because as I always say, if you don't use this information, then the last 45 minutes has just been entertainment, and I am not an entertainer. Thanks a lot for listening. Speak to you soon. Goodbye.